Welcome back, guys, to the Action Filmmaking Decoded podcast. I'm your host, Darren Tun.
And this is Skylar Tun, his beloved cousin.
Beloved cousin. Yes, of course. As promised, this episode is another John Wick breakdown. This one is the subway fight from John Wick 2. Mm-hmm. If you guys are unfamiliar with this fight, again, you can look this up on YouTube. Just look up subway fight. We're starting all the way from when he starts battling assassins before he reaches the subway.
Right, right. All right, let's start with the violinist.
Right.
I think it's very neat how they have, you know, these very random people that are able to blend in. And, you know, they're all assassins.
Yeah.
Whoa, this is cool. You know?
Like, I don't know who's really like after me, you know,
who can I trust? I can't trust exactly. You. I can't trust you. I can't trust anybody. I just got to run. And they're able to develop this feeling even more into the third movie. But we'll talk about that more later.
Yeah.
So again, like in our last talk about the fight scene from John Wick 1, he still maintains the same speed and dynamic fighting style because he has the same professionalism. And we could make a direct reference to this, I guess, at the end of this scene in the subway. But let's start with the violinist and the big Korean guy. You gotta love him. You gotta love him.
Is he Korean?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's Korean. He looks Korean, you know, to my knowledge.
He also reminds me of like sumo wrestler. You know what I'm saying?
Sumo wrestler. Yeah. All right. So does it starts with the violinist?
Yeah,
it starts with the violinist. Yeah. So John is walking past the violinist. And, well, she shoots him in the back 3 times. And it's
really... Oh, this
really
is also that note that this is when you had the bulletproof suit jacket, right?
Yeah, this is when he had the bulletproof blazer. You know, let's call it that.
Mm-hmm.
So the first initial shots, well, it didn't hurt him. It didn't make him bleed. But these 3 shots, you could also take as... the efficiency that John has sort of it's very present in the assassins community, if you can call it that.
Yeah.
So he gets shot in the back 3 times.
Let's talk about this gun too, this violin gun that she has.
Yeah, that I actually can't say much on that. Do you want to expand more on that? Because I thought it was cool, but that's about it.
Yeah, no, it's just awesome. Like, how does she even hold like... How does she even have the violin, the gun inside the violin?
I think it's kind of like during the Cold War, you know, they had like these poison dart umbrellas and these suitcase guns. I guess they find some way to mount them or hide them in there, and then they just take them out and use them. So
yeah,
it is cool. It is a good form of I guess miniature world building.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole different topic of its own. So yeah, she shoots him in the back 3 times, and then he continues, and he disarms her after she tries to land a backswing kick. That's what we call it, Taekwondo. And really from there, the scene cuts into his first encounter with the big Korean guy, where he just decks him in the face and John falls over.
Yeah, yeah, he just puts his arm out, you know, ever so casually.
And he decks him.
Yeah, literally decks him.
Yeah.
It's
certainly unusual to see a fight scene with, let's call him a plus size combatant, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
one of the very first things you notice about this fight. This guy's very large. He's very large man.
Not to use the F word, but he is very large. Yeah.
He's a very large guy. He's a big guy. And yeah. They make that pretty apparent early on. They show like this huge height difference between John Wick and this guy. Just his brute strength, about how like he's able to just throw him through the glass so effortlessly, you know?
Yeah. I know that they have used, you know, big, large set fellows like this Korean guy in fight scenes to like show like, oh, this guy is big and tough. It's going to take a lot more than usual to bring him down. But
yeah,
in this sense, they really are able to exemplify that. And I think that they really took advantage of it, because if you've ever seen that video with I think the 70 kilogram guy versus the 562 kilogram guy, that small guy is just not able to do a single thing to him. No matter how directly he attacks him, no matter where he hits him, he just can't get through those layers of heavy flesh. Yeah. We're not going to use the F word here. That would be very uncouth. Okay. but they do take advantage of that very well. And I think that it makes a very interesting fight. Yeah. So back to the violinist. She's able to get back her gun somehow. And she's able to shoot John inside of his bulletproof blazer. So she gives him two gunshot wounds in the side. But after this, he's pretty easily able to disarm her and pin her to the ground. And that scene cuts to it cuts to the Asian assassins that are after him. How should I describe them? It's the three guys. The Chinese guys, I think. So one of them is kind of stalking him. Before I talk about that, I do want to note that I like how they made John stop to check on his wound. They took a lot of time with that. And then they left that scene with the bloody handprint on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's I think that does a lot to set the mood of, well, tension and suspense. You know that he's going to get out alive, but part of it, you know that he's going to have to fight his way out, and it's not going to be pretty. So then you get to the Asian guys stalking him. And actually, for this scene, there isn't really all too much to talk about unless you want to interject.
Yeah, I really like this this particular sequence, because they really jump back and forth between the different fights to really make it give it
it's very dynamic.
Yeah, exactly. And basically, you know, it shows like there are a lot of assassins. You know, it's not like he just goes through one and then like there's another one and then there's another one. It's more like of a montage sequence of him fighting different guys, which I thought was really neat. Normally montage sequences are put in there to condense large amounts of time into shorter amounts of time. And I thought this particular sequence did a pretty good job at doing that. Especially after, you know, he battles these two guys and they have a pretty violent, I would say violent showdown with a pencil. Yeah. I think that's the most memorable part of this scene. Skylar, in your opinion, do you think someone could really do this with a pencil?
Well, I have never been able to test this out, but and I doubt that I ever will. But if the pencil is sturdy enough, not like one of those cheap, big pencils. If it's sturdy enough, it could definitely go through someone. But yeah, with the amount of force that John Wick puts into these strikes, it might actually break
the pencil, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I do think before you were making a comparison to the Joker scene from The Dark Knight with how mm-hmm. he did the pencil trick too. How do you think that they pulled it off in John Wick? Because they probably had an easier time doing it because, well, first off, they did a shot very carefully where his hand covers the pencil. Mm-hmm. And you can sort of see that the guy's head doesn't go all the way. Well, okay, the pencil doesn't go all the way into the guy's head. So what do you think about how they did that?
Yeah. So just like going back to when I was talking about the scene from The Dark Knight, if you guys haven't seen it, there's a scene from The Dark Knight where the Joker actually has a pencil, and it's called the pencil trick. And basically he takes a henchman, he slams his head straight into the pencil, and supposedly it went to his eye socket. In this scene, they show everything. So my guess is that it's some sort of VFX, I think. I don't really know how they could have pulled this off without some sort of CG pencil. I believe they probably painted in a pencil for some of these. And then for the ones, obviously, that are going through his head, it is very possible that he's putting the pencil through his hand and it's just sliding up. If you think about it.
Because they did make sure to have his hand cover most of the pencil. They really used that to their advantage. So
yeah,
they did do a very good job with that shot. And it is a very good nod to the first movie where, you know, they're talking about, like, I once saw him kill three men in a bar with a pencil.
With the pencil, yeah.
The pins, yeah.
And I think it's a great way to include storytelling into your fight scenes, because normally nowadays you have fight scenes that are just, you know, scripts, you know, a lot of talking, and then with the story, and then you have fight scene in the middle of the story, and then you have back to story again, stuff is happening, and then back to fight scene. So it's like, I think it's a great way to actually include storytelling into your fight scenes. And basically right. That's what all of John Wick is storytelling through his fight scenes. You could tell more about John Wick, you know, through his fight scenes than if he is just standing there and, you know, giving a piece of dialogue. I feel like you could tell a lot about who he is, his fighting style, just everything about him. Yeah.
Right. Really, there are two kinds of fight scenes. There are the very flashy ones where really it's a showcase. And then there's the ones that are set in the story the most. They're dramatic. The moves are chosen very carefully. How the moves are performed is chosen very carefully because you want to depict that kind of tone and you want to show the kind of mood in the scene. And I think that, you know, when we're talking about John Wick, there isn't just rage behind his strikes. The manner that he's doing it shows his, for the lack of a better term, assassin heritage. I think that's really good world building, in my opinion. But yeah, after this scene with the Chinese guys, the ones that he killed with the pencil, he is able to finish off the large Korean man.
And the large man.
It takes two headshots. And
what I like about this is like the change in mood when he just like shoots him in the head. And then the guy just, his face just goes blank. He's like, you know?
Yeah.
and then I love how when he's walking away, the guy is just getting back up again. Because it's just like, what? Like, how is he still alive?
Yeah. No, I do think that John Wick, well, the directors of John Wick definitely know when to insert humor. Because obviously, if you have a movie that's just all darkness, mm-hmm. it's not going to be fun to watch. It's not even going to be worth watching. So you have to know when to put a little bit of lighthearted, you know, even stupid humor. Like this is a pretty basic joke. Like, oh, how is he getting back up? Just kill him again. And they definitely expand on this humor in John Wick 3, just like the idea that you're surrounded, you know. But
there's also the sense of like, I see a lot of Jackie inspiration there with like action comedy in a way. But Yeah, there's also this sense of like, hey, he's doing like some pretty ridiculous stuff. If you think about it and you look at it, some of the stuff is pretty ridiculous. And if you don't interject humor and you don't really understand what you're making, or basically you don't really understand, I guess, the humor and the ridiculousness behind it, then...
you know, what are you even doing?
Yeah, it falls apart in a way.
Yeah.
So I like this.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, moving on. There's the scene stand right in front of, what's this place again? The,
supposedly it's, the Canal Street station. Well, no, it's the one, preceding the Canal Street station for the E-train. And both of us could definitely tell you that the subway station doesn't look that nice. It's never that clean, and it's definitely not white. It starts off with John trying to proceed to the subway, and another assassin is following him. That's Cassian, who is played by Common, the rapper. And Cassian's motivation throughout the entire movie is John killed a previous target that, let's just say, he was attached to. And Cassian takes his contract not just for the money. Well, assumingly not just for the money. He wants revenge, obviously. It was his ward. So it enters this very almost tongue-in-cheek shooting scene where they both have silenced pistols and they're moving through the station, and they're just shooting a couple shots at each other whenever they can.
This is at the Oculus. Yeah. Fight scene was at the Oculus, but this is really cool to see. It's also really funny. I remember when they were just like silently like just shooting at each other from, you know, one of them is on the top of the balcony and the other one is like walking down there with the crowd. It really just shows, like, I think it really just also exemplifies how they stand out and everyone else is kind of just minding their own business. Typical New Yorker style, you know?
Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, it also kind of adds to the fact that you could have no idea that you're surrounded by assassins. Like these two guys, I know that John's face was, you know, full of blood and cuts and everything, but in a sense, they're blending into the crowd. They just look like average Joes. Again, even though John Wick's face is covered in, you know, cuts and scratches, nobody notices that they're shooting each other somehow, and they're able to blend in seamlessly, and it adds to that effect. You don't know what's around you. You don't know what's hidden. I guess that's why we call it hidden.
Yeah, and, it makes it feel bigger than it actually is. Yeah.
Right, right. And then after this this cute little scene, as I would call it, they move to the subway. And well, there are people boarding a train. And there are two guys who try to take out John Wick, but one of them is shot in the head very quickly. He's almost disregarded. He's almost just tossed aside. And the other one is executed almost just as quickly. John Wick stabs him through.
It almost makes me wonder, like, how many stuntmen they just go through that fast, you know?
The budget for this movie was certainly bigger than the last one. So they probably had enough. But there is no shortage in the spilling of blood. Mm-hmm. So... Let's talk more about the subway fight scene, the knife fight with Cassian. What did you think when you first saw it?
I thought it was really, really interesting because I always say interesting, but this in particular was pretty interesting.
Yes.
Because I think every fight scene needs a build up to it. You know, you can't just jump right into crazy fight scene, whatever. Like, I think the biggest part of a lot of fight scenes is a lot of the buildup that's included with it. And I think this is something that's also amplified in the movie The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. That movie is literally all buildup. If you watch it, like, how much fighting actually happens, it's probably like there's like a 10-second blip of fighting and like this whole like 5-10 minute wait until anything like actually happens, you know. I think it's very similar to Martin Scorsese's style. It's very similar to Quentin Tarantino's style a little bit. But I'd say just like deaths, you know, just happen very quickly in those movies opposed to John Wick. But I like the way that they use tension here to build up the tension right before, you know, these two actually faced off of, against each other.
Right.
In this scene in particular, I really like how they were in a crowded subway. So it was almost like, oh, we can't fight with all these civilians around, you know, like we have to abide by our code and only go after each other. Like we're not here to kill anybody else. You know what I mean? So I think it was really interesting how, you know, it really highlighted how the two were just having this stare down and just waiting for people to just exit the train slowly as the train empties out. And then once the train is completely empty, it's like, bam, those two can face each other.
Right, right. Along with, you know, the crowd, and I don't want to keep saying that, oh, they have a very professional attitude, because that's going to get old eventually. I really want to make note about the crowd and the fact that they're in the subway, because I know this is going to be a really bad example, but hear me out.
Okay.
Snakes on a plane. they use claustrophobia very well for these scenes. You're in a tight situation. You're in a crowded situation. There are people around. The walls almost feel like they're going to close in within you. And even though the subway does empty out, John and Cassian stay very close to each other. And that only adds to the claustrophobic feeling, because unless you know jiu-jitsu, which John uses a lot in the fight, a close fight is a hard fight. You need distance to kick someone. You need more distance than you'd expect to punch someone. And if you don't have distance, then you just got to grapple or you got to flip. And what John does is he flips a lot.
But the other thing that you just pointed out too is like the space in that train is very limited. So obviously having less space, it's harder to fight, but it's also harder to film if you think about it. Some of these more cramped fight scenes that I've had to film before have been some of the hardest to film, because I was like, man, I want to show all the action, but I was like, I can barely even, you know, squeeze my camera in here. You know, it's like, how are we gonna even have enough room to record this or film this, you know? So it was really really interesting. It must have been a challenge to record in such a small subway like that. I'm assuming that maybe they had some sort of detachable walls, some way to maneuver the camera around a little bit easier so that, you know, they can get those shots.
Right, right. I mean, they did use some very interesting angles. There was a lot of focus on, well, in the beginning of the fight scene, where John and Cassian were holding off each other before they stabbed each other. And that first stab makes the camera switch to John's face, which is really him trying to keep in, you know, that grunt of pain. And I think that speaks a lot on an emotional level, and again, a professional level, because... <Yeah. laughs> He's trying to, yeah, very, very professional. He's trying to keep in that this fight is just between them. He doesn't need to make this any bigger than it is already. So he wants to keep this, let's just use the term, in the box, if we can. Right. And with the crowd, the rest of the people in the subway backed up against one of the doors, the box is pretty much theirs. They can do whatever they want, but they still stay relatively close to each other. And aside from one quick jab that John makes with his knife, the only one, well, Cassian is really the only one who makes these, you know, these wider sweeps and these big movements, especially in the end where he tries to slam down the knife onto John's chest. And John is able to use that those big movements to redirect the knife into Cassian's his chest, his aorta. Yeah.
In your opinion, stuck in a situation like this, a subway car, would you think that this is the the method of fighting that you would use?
Would we have knives?
Let's just say that there are no knives. Yeah.
Okay. If there are no knives,
the knives are being pulled out.
Okay. If there are no knives, because I don't like using weapons, to be honest. If there are no knives, the fight would certainly still be very close, because I think, well, first off, you're going to have the claustrophobia of the subway car. Even if there's no one there, it's still a relatively narrow corridor. So you're not going to be able to, like, you know, just sidestep or anything. You got to work with the space very carefully. Fortunately, if you're a more flashy or acrobatic or dynamic fighter, you could use the bars to your advantage, you know, pull yourself up and kick the guy or whatever. I can't really say much in terms of realism, because most guys are more likely to, you know, knock you to the ground and start, you know, wailing on you. But I would definitely try to corner someone if I were in a subway situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, one last thing I want to make note of, and then I'll hand over the mic to you. The line that John Wick says at the end, that the blade is stuck in your aorta, you pull it out, you die. This is a professional courtesy.
Mm.
I think you know where I'm going to go with this. I don't want to say the word again, the P word.
No, I'll say it. It's professional, right?
Yeah. It's very professional.
Yeah. He kills him professionally.
It's very... All right, guys. So what can we take from this? John has very good etiquette, and he knows how to work well in his space.
Right, right.
Right.
Just some other things I realized when rewatching this fight. There's a lot of places where they could have hid, you know, crash pads, or pads in general for, you know, them to fall on. It looks like the big flip where he flips Common over, and Common kind of just falls just right in front of the camera. They weren't showing the ground there, so it definitely looks like they could have put a crash pad there. Yeah, and it looks like they didn't even show his face either, so that could have been Common stunt double.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely plausible. I mean, they did do a lot of flips, and the angles that they used, and it's mostly the angles that they use. They make it look very fast and hard, and that's what you're looking for in a good flip. Obviously, right. It's not like you're just trying to, like, knock the guy over. You want to slam him into the ground, you know.
Also, a scene like this, as you can see, the way the subway car is, it's very, very difficult to have two cameras running at the same time. So it looks like when every single time they cut back from the other side, the other perspective, it's a second take or a different take of what they filmed. So they definitely did this a lot of times from different angles. So they know their stuff.
Oh, yeah, they definitely know their stuff. I wouldn't doubt that for a second.
But yeah, that's all the notes that I have to give about this scene. I really like this scene. I thought it was built up pretty well. And yeah, any other notes that we should give?
I think on a final note, it was just a very good, very dynamic fight, and it helped to contribute to a lot of, I guess, the world building in John Wick 2, because really they say that the first movie you set up the characters, the second movie you set up the world. So you can actually see in their fighting style how they do things. It leads back to some kind of, like I said before, assassin heritage, or a way that they culturally express themselves through killing. So
yeah,
I think that was probably a very interesting point in John Wick 2 in general.
All right.
Yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode. Next episode, we're probably going to go into some of Jackie Chan's stunts. So stay tuned for that.